go to Psalm 103 to start today. Psalm 103. You know, it's an incredible blessing to be able to hear manifestations in a fellowship. It's a really I mean, if you really sit down and think about what just happened, or didn't just happen, we manifest that it's very much of a blessing. And I was quite serious when I said, you know, you really need to hear what God has to say. You know, and we need to hear the word, but it's great that it's God who inspires those words to be said, and they're for us. And the Bible says they're to edify and build us up and strengthen us, right? So I certainly get encouraged and strengthened by those words. I trust we all do, but never want to take that ability for granted, right? Not everybody has the ability to hear words like that. That's not what I'm teaching on today, but I thought I got blessed by that. Today I want to look at the topic of God is on your side. Many times I think people think that they're in some sort of competition with God, that, you know, people try to walk maybe so tightly in life that God will meet their needs. They'll try to, you know, I don't want to make any mistakes and then God will bless me, or, you know, whatever, however way you want to fashion that thinking, it can creep into our thinking. You know, I haven't done this, so therefore God won't do this, or, you know, maybe I'm not as spiritual here, so God can't do this. You know, and that's all erroneous thinking, really. It really is erroneous thinking. Let's start with Psalm 103. Let's read verse 8. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Right? Plenteous in mercy. Mercy, you know what mercy is? Mercy is when you deserve something and you don't get something. That's bad to say, right? You deserve to be squashed and you don't get squashed, maybe more clear. Mercy means you've made a mistake or something happened and you're about to pay for it, and God just says, "No, I'll be merciful to you," and just puts that aside, right? That's mercy. It says God, and that's when you make a mistake, right? And it says God is plenteous in mercy, right? "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins," right? God doesn't deal with you or me after your sins. That's not the way. If God dealt with us after our sins, would he have sent Jesus Christ? No. Not a chance. Right. "Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." I wouldn't want the reward of my iniquities. Right. So God chose not to reward us according to our iniquities. Now, when you read these verses, think about how much God is on your side. He wants you to be blessed. He's not going to withhold good things from you, right? So you should never think that God would ever withhold something from you, something good that will bless you. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy." I thought he just told us that he was merciful, right? "So great is his mercy toward them that fear him or love or respect him." You know, we've been doing Proverbs with the kids, and one of the things we've learned in Proverbs is that verse in Proverbs 1:7 where it says, what does it say? Kids, someone? Emma? Put you on the spot? "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The reverence or respect of God, right? That's where it all starts. And here God says, if you love and respect me, boy, his mercy is so high. Verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west," which is infinite, "so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." He knows you. He knows us. He knows you're dust. He knows I'm dust, right? Right. But fit in very well with the stove around here, right? Right? He knows that we're dust. See, that's the words we have saying, that he understands you. He understands us. He knows who made us, right? You think the one who made us would understand us, right? He understands we need mercy, in fact, three or four times in five verses, right? We need mercy. We need our sins to be put aside. He knows we make mistakes, and yet he wants to bless us and take care of us, right? So why should we ever think that he wouldn't be on our side? Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. I said he did it when we didn't deserve it. Well, that's what it says here. I wasn't just making that up, as you know. You guys know this verse. Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who's that? Who's that? Us. Ungodly, right? Wow. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. You know, the odd time, people put their lives in the stake for a good man. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, follow the logic here, right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were ungodly, undeserving, the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for us, right? When we were undeserving and were ungodly. So at a time when we didn't really deserve anything, Christ died for us. So now follow logic here. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more than, so if he did that when we were sinners, much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In other words, if he did that much good for us when we didn't deserve anything, now that we've accepted him and are blessed, how much more will he do for us now? Why would he withhold anything good from you or me? Why would I ever think I'm not good enough, or I haven't done enough, or, well, maybe if I just did this, that God would bless me, and maybe he'd help me, right? That's not the way it works, right? That's the way it doesn't work, right? And it's only us who would ever think that way and then withhold God. You know, we would cut ourselves off from God's blessings, right? It says in Psalms there, when they didn't get any of his benefits. They forsook God, and as a result, they didn't receive any of his blessings or benefits, right? It was them. It was never God. Look at Romans chapter 5. Back to verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. You are not fighting with God. God is not fighting with you. You may want to fight with God the odd time, but God is you're at peace with him. Right? It's only you who would ever want to fight with him. Right? You're at peace with him. Peace. You know what peace means? It means, wow, let's sit down together, Father, and let's talk. And God says, I'm here. I hear your prayers. I delight in your prayers. I want to bless you. What do you need today? In fact, I know what you need, but let's talk about it anyway. You know, that's God. God, you know, I don't like to always compare an earthly father to God in the sense that, you know, we fall so short of what God does for his people, right? But when I think about children, like, I don't need, kids, don't take this the wrong way. I don't need my kids to be perfectly obedient for me to feed them, right? Although I felt that should be, that's not a bad idea, right? They're going to get fed, right? You know, if they get hurt, they're going to get helped, right? If they need help, they're going to get help. My helping them has nothing to do with the way they respond to me. Not just earthly. I'm just talking about earthly fathers, right? How about God? Right? God is so much greater, so much more loving, so much more kind than we could ever be, right? So that, you know, we should never ever think, so why would we as children of God ever think, well, now I've got to walk so perfectly today. Like, I got to be tight. I can't make a mistake. Oh, there's a bad thought. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry. Please don't squash me. You know, like, I'm not sure. I know we don't think that way, but sometimes we think that our blessings will get cut off because of our own actions, right? Yeah. Oh, Jane, yeah, use your cell phone. In Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. It You know, I say this because sometimes, you know, when we see the Word of God and we see what it says there written for us, and then we say, well, how come I didn't receive what that says, right? You know, and sometimes, you know, it's an honest question, and I, you know, we've asked it, but it's not honest if we're asking it from the point of view of, God, why didn't you do that for me, right? Because the Word says that He will not withhold any good thing from us, right? He will bless us, His plenteous in mercy. So, you know, we ought never ask it from the point of view of, well, God, why didn't you do that for me? Right? Because the Word is clear, right? He doesn't withhold good from us. He blesses. He's on our side. He's on our side. He had His Son die for us when we were ungodly, didn't deserve anything. So I oughtn't to ask Him things like, well, God, why don't you do that for me? Right? What I ought to ask is, Father, how come I don't believe that? Help me to believe Your Word. Because I see it in Your Word. I see where it says that. Help me. Show me in Your Word where I can learn to believe that promise better. Because I know as far as You're concerned, it's a done deal. And You know, you've said in Your Word, You bless me. You withhold no good thing from me. You see, that's how we go to Him according to what His Word says. Not according to our experience or what we might feel. What does His Word say? And we just accept that to be true. And we go to Him on the basis of what His Word says, right? So it can be an honest question or it can be a dishonest question based on what point of view we're coming from, right? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Had not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why not be afraid? Why not be dismayed? For the Lord thy God is with thee. He told Joshua, I'm with you. I'm not against you. I'm not waiting for you to fall, Joshua. Right? He says, look, just trust me. Do what my word says. And wherever you go, you know, I had this on our mirror in the bathroom, that verse, right? The Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. That's a good thing to remember in the morning. Wherever you go, God is with you, right? You know, God told him, I'm going to be with you all the time, right? Wherever you go. So therefore, you don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to be, what does it say there? Afraid. No reason to be afraid, no reason to be dismayed, because God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm on your side, Joshua. We're trying to do this together. The Bible, the New Testament says, fellow laborers, right? Isn't that what it says? Right. Look at Isaiah 41. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Isaiah chapter 41. It says in verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. It sounds like a song. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Right. God telling his people, don't be afraid, for I am with you. That's it. Don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm on your side. God's saying, I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm not against you. Don't ever think that I'm against you, and don't convince yourself that you're against me. Right? Don't think that I wouldn't do good things for you. Right? That's what it says. The Word says, He's on our side. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Right? You know, I mean, listen to that. Like, just put that in your mind. Day by day, God is with me. God strengthens me. God gives me courage. He upholds me. He's always with me. He gives me mercy. He doesn't deal with me according to my mistakes. He wants me to be blessed. I mean, you'll have a good day, right? That's leading for a good day. Right. Look at Psalm 23. David said it once, right, in one of the Psalms. He goes, this I know, God is for me. He had no doubt that God was for him. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. because he's my shepherd, I won't want. He maketh me to lie down in green. I always love the fact that it says he makes me. He maketh me. As I don't always want to lie down in green pastures. Damn it, I need to earn it. No, just lie down. Relax. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Right? This is Old Testament, okay? This is Old Testament. Before the Lord had come and done everything for us. And listen to this. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't that what we just read in Isaiah and in Joshua? God says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Right? He says, therefore, he says here, I won't be afraid, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The thing that provides protection, the thing that provides sustenance, both were there with him. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, listen to those words. You think God is against us? God is on our side. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to take care of us. He wants us never to be afraid. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Jesus Christ is the perfect expression of God's thoughts towards man. Matthew chapter 11. And down in verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will, not being upset, not being annoyed, anxious all the time. He says, come unto me, I will give you rest. Rest is a good thing. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Why does he say that? Because when we're yoked with him, who's doing all the hard work? The Lord. He says, take my yoke upon you, we'll go together, and let me do the pulling, and then you can find rest. That's the whole message to you and I in the New Testament, what Jesus Christ came to do. There's nothing for us to do but accept what he has done. Isn't this leading towards that? Take my yoke upon you. To be yoked with Jesus Christ means that we have the greatest Lord, the most wonderful one, working with us, right? So why would we ever get upset or anxious or annoyed, right? And look. We just read Old Testament verses. This is leading towards all that Jesus Christ had done. Right? They were so blessed, and God was so merciful and so gracious, and would take care of them and protect them. How about now, when we're yoked with Jesus Christ? Right? Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Luke 12:29. It says here, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. Don't be doubtful. Read the word, let the word soak in, get rid of the doubt. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for God wants you to work really hard to get the kingdom, right? That's not what it says, right? It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right? It's his good pleasure. He wants you to be blessed, right? Just blessed. He wants you to be blessed. And then the rest of the world is all anxious about all these things. You see, he's called a savior because we needed to be saved, right? He's called a savior. We needed his help. Now that we've accepted him, we still need his help. Right? He's still a savior. It's not that we get accepted, everything, you know, we accept the Lord and okay, everything's good now. Now it's all up to me. No, he's still my savior. We still need him every single day, right? That's why, you know, we don't have to say, well, I gotta walk so perfectly, I'm not gonna make any mistakes, I'm gonna do everything just right, God. You just watch today. By the end of the day today, you're gonna answer two prayers for me today, because I'm gonna have a two prayer day walk for you, right? No, it's not that way at all. Right? I'm kind of being facetious, but sometimes we can think that way. You know, I didn't really read much of the Bible today. You know, I read it this morning, but I was kind of half asleep when I read it. And, you know, and I didn't really pray. And I forgot to pray for so-and-so. And I really should have, Father. And I would understand why you wouldn't want to answer my prayer today. Right? I would understand that. Like, that's just ungodly thinking. Right? It really is. I guarantee you, none of the kids ever think, well, you know, I didn't clean my room today. I'm not getting my supper. Right? Like I said, it's not a bad idea, right? Right? You see, God is so gracious, so loving, so kind. He just says, just recognize, kids, I'm on your side, right? I did this for you. I did this when you were ungodly, didn't deserve it. So now that we have fellowship together, why would you ever think I don't want to bless you, right? Why would you ever think that? That's God. Look at John 14. John 14. Note how in this section we're going to read a couple of verses here, how he expresses God's desire towards us. John 14, 6. Where are we? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He was expressing God's desire to people. And how sayest thou, and show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Here you go. You think God's not on your side? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything, which seems to be equal to whatsoever. Right. Isn't that what we just said in the previous verse? Whatsoever. Now he says anything. Okay. In my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you an annoyer. No, it's called a comforter. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. God sent the Spirit to comfort you, to help you, to lead you into the all truth, to show you things to come, to bless you, right? Not to make you conscious of your sins and worry and anxious all the time. That's not why God sent the Spirit. You know, when Israel was on the edge of the promised land, remember that record? When Israel was a several month journey from Egypt to Canaan, they were at the edge of the promised land. Guess what, right? Remember Moses did the thing with the recce troop, right? I'm birthed in the military. The reconnaissance guys are going to go in and take a look, right? He was right there, and they're ready to go in, right? You think it was God's will that they would have the promised land? Right then and there? Yeah, absolutely, right? They're right there on the edge, right? And there waiting for them was the promised land. It was all there. All they had to do was do one thing. What? Walk in. It wasn't even difficult, right? It wasn't like God says, see that 400-foot precipice there? I want you guys to scale that with your kids on your back, then you can jump over into a volcano and slide down lava and you'll make it eventually. No, he said just walk in. Here you are, the promised land. That to me is representative of every single promise that you see in God's word, that very situation. It's just waiting for you right beyond that point. And all you got to do is walk in. And yet we would say things like, oh, that can't be for me, right? I'd rather go back and live in bondage and slavery and not accept that wonderful blessing that God has right there, and all I got to do is walk in, right? Let me ask you, did God withhold the promised land from them? No. Who decided they didn't want it? The people, right? Every single promise in God's word waiting to be believed, who decides they don't want it? Is it God? No, it's not God. He says, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want you to be blessed. I had them die for you when you didn't deserve it. How much more, right? And yet we say, well, I don't know, you know. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul in the courts, and then near the end of his life. In verse 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He still didn't have anything against those people, right? Notwithstanding, who's the Lord stood with me. You see, everybody and everything can be against you, but the Lord stood with him. But all, and strengthened me. See, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a way to think daily. Right? Look, I don't care what's against me. I know the Lord is with me. In Ephesians it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's, the Lord is with us. He's always with us. And, you know, Paul writes here, look, everybody else was against me. Okay, fine. I don't want them to suffer for it. But I know the Lord is with me. I know he'll deliver me, and he's going to get me into his kingdom, and we're going to be blessed forever. That was his thinking. See, God is with us. He's on our side. He is not against us. I'm going to close in Romans chapter 8. Had to go there. Romans chapter 8. See, I know that they're sometimes just, they may seem to be just words, but by the work of Jesus Christ, we've been redeemed. We've been bought back. God paid a high price for you, right? He paid a very high price for you, not so that you can now be miserable and anxious and upset or annoyed or frustrated, but God paid a high price for you because he wanted you to be his, and he paid for you, and he paid for us. That's what redeemed means. You belong to him. He's your father. You belong to him. He wants to own you. He doesn't want, it's not like, oh gosh, he wants our fellowship. He wants to be blessed. He wants you. You're sanctified, which means you're set apart. We are going to heaven. Nothing will ever stop that. Right? These aren't just words. These are realities that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, right? He's given us access to God. You can talk openly to him without fear of any kind of, you know, God dealing with you according to your iniquities, without fear of God saying, well, trying to judge you. It's open access. God, Jesus Christ did that for us. He gave you the authority to use his name openly. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right? All these things have been given to you, to us. Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I was talking about manifestations. Well, this is exactly what the manifestation said today. If what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you remember that in the manifestations today? That's exactly what God said in the manifestations. Now, this verse is here. Right? You think God backs up his word? If God be for us, who can be against us? So you know what that implies? God is what? For us. Right? Now, are there people against us? Yeah. Didn't what Paul said, just wrote in Timothy? No man stood with him. But you see, the point is, when God is for us, it doesn't matter who is against us. It doesn't matter. Right? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son. See, he had him die for us, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The fact that he had the Lord Jesus Christ die for us, now, why would he stop blessings coming our way? He would not do that. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifies? God justifies you. Why would he ever lay anything to your charge? Never. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Christ that died? Why would he condemn you? He's the one who died for us. That is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. He is trying to help us. He would never hurt us or hinder us or accuse us of anything. Verse 35, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted for sheep for the slaughter? No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither, that's where we need to be in our lives, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come. Boy, it's a long list. Right? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. If God is for us, nothing can stand against us. There's no reason for us to ever doubt that God is not with us, that he's on our side. He wants to bless us, and he will not withhold any good thing from us. Right? Let's just enjoy his fellowship, enjoy the blessings of a wonderful God who loves us so much that he would have his son die for us when we're ungodly. And beyond that, now much more want to bless us so much, right, day by day. Wow, it's just, to me, it's just incredible. Right. God bless.